I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Michael K is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking.
It's the Michael K Show.
Michael K is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. It's 3 o'clock.
Hello.
In the big city. That's New York City, to be exact. But you could be listening in New Jersey or Connecticut or throughout the tri-state.
Yeah.
Maybe throughout the country. Maybe throughout the world. We hear from people in Brazil. We hear from people in Israel. We hear from people in Japan before. We've heard from people everywhere. You may be wondering why you're not hearing from Michael Kay.
Yeah, what's going on?
And
summer.
I actually didn't ask him for how he was planning on describing it, so I'll just go ahead with the old truth. He texted us yesterday and said he came down with something, and his voice was basically completely shot, and with the season coming up, he had to rest. Like, he did not have a voice today.
If you notice, he's not on the call today. He was supposed to be on the call for the Yankee game against the Mets, and he's not on that call, and that's where we're at.
What time is the Yankee Met vehicle? Is it right now?
It's happening now.
Oh, boy, a 1 o'clock vehicle?
So we're not on television.
Oh, so we're not on TV for a while. I can take my shirt off, is what you're saying.
Yeah, if it makes you feel comfortable.
Well, you know, whatever makes me, gets me in the zone. We got Drop Madness today, Don. We got
so great.
We got Game Time, which is brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey.
I always look forward to Game Time.
I know you do. It's the segment you always look most forward to.
Because it's the one that I kill Michael for, because he's got the strangest order.
Well, mine's very straightforward today. The Knicks are taking on the Pistons tonight at MSG, with coverage starting right here at 7 o'clock on 98.7. The Nets are facing the Raptors north of the border at 7:30, and that's Game Time. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, because when it's game time, it's Tully time.
Yeah,
Tullamore
right.
Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey.
Do it.
During tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Don, how was your weekend?
It was good. Saturday was just started out awful because it just rained all day. It's just one of those catastrophic, like build an ark type of rains.
Really was.
Can't do anything. Got a whole Saturday off. And then it culminated into a great Ranger win in a shootout. I got to call that one at the Garden. Rangers now tied with Vancouver for the best record in the National Hockey League, which is amazing.
Is that crazy?
So that was good. And then Nancy's cousins had a 1-year-old birthday party, and she lives way out in Sussex County, so it was a day on the farm, which is a little messy because it had rained the day before, so it had kind of a Woodstock feel to it. But the kids love seeing the alpacas. And
oh, they
the
love alpacas, don't they?
So that was nice. It was a very relaxing day. How about you?
Well, I was with you. Saturday was just not what you want. There's no way around it. I was on Long Island, and let me tell you, it wasn't any better there. It was straight nastiness. By the way, I took Danny's advice.
You did?
I went to Frank's Steakhouse.
Okay, do tell.
That night. Had myself a delightful meal. I very much enjoyed their bacon. They do the sort of thick cut bacon gimmick.
Okay.
Like you might get at a Peter Luger. Or,
like an appetizer kind of thing?
Yeah, but at steakhouses they do the bacon gimmick where
sure.
it's like very thick. It's like a bacon steak
right.
almost. And you cut it into pieces and share.
Yummy.
Yeah, it was yummy. We enjoyed that. Steaks were pretty good. Sides were delightful. Had a long wait. We did have a long wait for our entrees. It was clear. You ever have one of those situations where it's clear you've been forgotten?
Oh, that's the worst. So you've been forgotten. You know something happened.
We entered into... I'm sort of the last person to notice because when I'm drinking and talking, if I'm not completely starved, I won't notice that quickly. You know what I mean? But then I start seeing other people looking around like, what's actually going on here? But here's why I'm willing to give a pass. And okay. Donna, and I think this is the difference between being a good person and being a bad person.
Okay. There's a big difference.
To me, the big difference, Don, is if you can tell that they realize a mistake was made and they really feel bad and address it, I can't be mad anymore. That's just what I'm like.
Right.
Like, there are people who, if they're hangry, will then continue to be mad for the rest of the meal. But once I can tell there was an oversight, you know, a ticket didn't get picked up, whatever it was that happened, and the people are really nice and offer you free drinks and dessert, I'm not there to be mad anymore. To me, that's called, all right, mistakes happen,
yeah,
and you're being
happens.
Kind. Yeah. Blank happens. You're being kind and trying to keep my business and keep me happy.
Yeah.
To me, it's a no harm, no foul situation.
Hopefully, they do take care of you monetarily. You would like to think that if you've been waiting for that long a time because of mistake.
I don't think we got a discount.
No. See, that's not... That's
really? But I think it's enough when they say, hey, drinks and dessert on the house.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Like I said, they got to give you something.
No, they got to give you something.
All right, yeah.
But drinks and dessert is plenty. Whatever it is.
Give us free dessert, a couple of free drinks, whatever. Just acknowledge, because mistakes do happen. But that is the worst, when they'll come over. You've been waiting an inordinate amount of time. You know, sorry, we overcooked the steak or something got lost. And you can kind of laugh about it, have fun. At that point, you're right. You almost feel bad.
Yeah, I felt bad.
Because we've all been in that situation when, you know, we screwed up. And we like to get a pass, so we like to give other people a pass.
To me, the standard of a good restaurant is not whether or not a mistake gets made. It's about how they handle the mistake once it gets made. And they were fantastic. I loved the old school Long Island vibe, the kind of red napkin old school feel. The food was great. We had a great time at Frank's. I recommend it.
Now, this is awkward because one of the members of this K show, which you can make case is the biggest member, is on the outs with this.
Let's not talk about the biggest member.
Well, especially when we're talking about Michael. that it's kind of awkward. Because he's on the outs with Danny, and now it sounds like you're getting deeper in with Danny. Taking his food recommendations, enjoying his restaurants.
What is your take on sausage?
Giving the restaurant a pass. So how
I don't like a crustacean.
How are we going to move forward? Because Michael has said he's going to continue to take Danny's phone calls. But, you know, it almost sounds like Danny might end on the laminated list. And meanwhile, you're hugging and kissing the guy. Well, so where do we stand on this?
It's inhumane.
Now, listen, I'm not hugging and kissing. I like Danny. We've had a full 180 from where we were. We have a mutual respect and appreciation. That doesn't mean that I don't think that the shot that he took at Michael was aggressive. The question is, does it go beyond the pale? For Michael, it sounds like the thing that he suggested went beyond the pale, and Michael's sick by it. Do you think it was that kind of insult, Don? Does it rise to the level?
Michael, yeah, because that's really dangerous ground that he walked. That's the one. I don't know.
If you missed it, by the way, what happened was we were talking about Shohei last week, of course, a lot. And during, you know, Michael was calling the Yankee game Friday, and Danny from Long Island called and said, wanted to talk about Ohtani. Oh, by the way, I kind of feel like if Ohtani was on the Yankees, Michael wouldn't be handling this so aggressively. He kind of called Michael's credibility into question.
Yes,
is what he did. And Michael then came on the air. We told him. And he was red hot. Sounded like it could be the end.
And I get that. Peter, I think that's all an untouchable subject for us when our credibility...
How am I a Yankees boy?
...is put on the line, especially by somebody that we like and has been a part of the show for so long. Right. It wasn't some Yahoo trying to get Michael's goat. This is somebody that... I remember Danny from the very beginning. So I can understand Michael.
What do you mean from the very... How far back does he go?
I don't remember doing shows without Danny calling. I mean, even going back to the weekend shows I did before I joined Michael. Yeah, I think he's been a part of the station from the beginning. I really do.
I did not know that.
So he's been a major part of what we do here. And I was surprised. I thought it was really aggressive. But, you know, I think you take it from where it comes in the sense of he's been such a part of the show that as much as it aggravates, you have it out and then everything goes fine. It's not just some yo-yo caller trying to get his goat.
I think
but Michael doesn't look like he's going to be coming back from this anytime.
Yeah!
He did sound very angry at the time.
No, he was. It wasn't performative at all. He was
That's
really
a poo-poo take.
I hope that they work it out. And by the way, we will get into Shohei Ohtani today because guess what? we are going to hear from Shohei Ohtani. That's right. Anthony booked him on the show.
Yes!
No translator. I'm going straight up Japanese.
Do you know any Japanese?
Arigato.
Right. Mr. Roboto.
Sumamasen, which is, excuse me, and I'm probably saying it wrong. Konnichiwa.
I've heard konnichiwa, yes. Konnichiwa's
hello.
Hello, yeah.
Sayonara.
Okay.
See ya!
Saki.
Arigato gozaimasu. Thank you very much.
This doesn't sound like any kind of, or enough to be able to engage him in conversation, except to say hello, goodbye.
How's the
back of your belly?
The only Japanese that I learned is from the very progressive and I'm sure not cringe in 2024 movie, Gung Ho.
I did enjoy that movie.
By the way, go back and watch it now.
It doesn't age well. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I did like it.
No, I loved it. It is in many ways a feel good movie. And the guys in the movie, the characters in the movie, George Wendt and Michael Keaton, not Keaton as much, but his friends, they are supposed to portray ignorant sort of racist Americans, right?
Right.
So it's not as if it's cringe, but they're not aware of it being. It is intentionally that, but there is still sort of a basic tone to the way the Japanese are portrayed in the film that is cringe in 2024.
As we're a bunch of lazy guys, they work
all
like
they do
animals,
is work.
Don't care about anything.
They have
anything
no feelings
work.
Except for, right. It's like, but it was in the mid-80s,
it was
a very
86.
Good movie.
It was an 86 movie. I thought the softball was great.
Well, that's the classic scene.
It's really just it's a fun movie. I hope I'm not wrong to want to enjoy it again.
No, you should try. And you should see with the spots where I'm wrong.
I've tried to tell. I got mad at Nancy. Not that we got into any kind of a fight. She claims to be a big Michael Keaton fan.
Okay.
She likes Multiplicity is her favorite Michael Keaton movie.
Well, then guess what? She's out of the conversation.
No, it's a good movie. But
favorite, though?
But here's the thing.
That's tough.
Never saw Mr. Mom.
Out of the conversation. I'm sorry.
She did see Gung Ho. I think we actually saw it in the theater together.
Wow, you guys have been together a long time.
I know, it's a long time. And the other one that I thought was in an inexcusable not watch was Night Shift, which I made her watch about a month ago, and she did enjoy it. But like, you can't be a Michael Keaton fan and not see Night Shift or Mr. Mom.
Yeah,
and Gung Ho. You could talk all you want about Batman. Yeah. I don't care. Michael Keaton, you got to talk about Night Shift, Gung Ho, Mr. Mom.
Hey, Mr. Mom has to be in the convo. Oh, we're forgetting something big, too.
Multiplicity was big. It may not be one of your favorites, but that would be up there.
I got to watch it again. But at the same time, heartbreaking movie, My Life.
Yes.
Great, touching, heartbreaking, horrible.
And I thought he was very good in Jackie Brown.
I don't remember his Jackie Brown.
He was one of the cops in Jackie Brown. It wasn't a big role. But don't start talking about Michael Keaton. I'm sorry, Mr. Mom, that might be number one.
I share an agent with Michael Keaton. What are your thoughts?
Really?
Yeah, what are your thoughts? Well, should I try to get him on the show?
Oh, that would be awesome.
I don't think we can. I don't think he's a big...
What if we got him on... this has always been my dream show, to talk to famous people about something other than the reason they're famous. Like, get Eddie Vedder to just talk about the...
Seattle sports.
The Seattle sports.
Which he would do.
To get Michael Keaton on just to talk about everything but movies. He's got to have other interests. He might dig that. I'm sure he's a sports fan. He's been in a ton of sports.
Is Michael Keaton from Chicago?
I feel like he's from Chicago.
Or is that just because of the characters and movies?
Like he's from Chicago.
All right. Listen, we'll do more on Michael Keaton. There's a lot to get to. OG Anunoby, also still not available for your New York Knicks.
There was a point, I don't know how much of that game you watched on Saturday, but they finally woke up the Knicks in the fourth quarter. Which I kind of figured might happen because they had played in Denver 2 days before. It was a 1 o'clock tip at the Garden. But they were able to get through it. They should be able to get through tonight against Detroit.
But
at some point, you're going to want him back because not all these games are going to be layups. Like, sorry, Net fans. I mean, the Nets aren't very good right now. Detroit's one of the worst teams in the league. I almost think tonight's almost a style points game for me. You're not going to feel good if you're a Knicks fan if you beat the Pistons the way you did last time. On a last second call, you want to thump them by 25, rest some guys in the second half.
The way that this team has been operating, you would think that you just want to go get a win, an OG or nah.
Well, but go get a win to where your feet are up in the fourth quarter, and
right?
Maybe resting some of your stars, and you know Brunson not playing a ton of minutes, and get right and get rested. But that was a nice win for the Nets. So that's going on tonight. Rangers off. They will play tomorrow against the Flyers. So the Rangers have the big win on Saturday. Islanders are in free fall. I think the Devils are done. So we're starting to get into the nitty-gritty, and Yankees and Mets, and it's almost like there's no news from the Yankees unless it's bad news. DJ now out for opening day. What's going on with Judge? You know Cole's not going to be ready for the first couple of months of the season. I'd love to be able to get a general feeling.
Go ahead.
On what Yankee fans feel about this team right now. Because I am getting so many different vibes from this team. Because I've got some friends and some people like Michael who's high on the team and think this is a team that's going to win the division. This team's going to make the playoffs and it's going to be a big year. Bounce back from last year. They're going to be healthy. But I also get vibes from fans who are like, who's going to get hurt? When's Rizzo going to get hurt again? When's LeMahieu coming back? When's Cole coming back? Are we really comfortable that Judge is going to be available as much as he needs to be?
By the way, this is the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. And Don, it feels like there's a lot of pain. DJ's, we're going to start the season with no DJ.
No DJ, no Cole. It looks like Judge is going to be okay, but it just seems like it's day to day with that. Like, what's the next guy that's going to get hurt? What's the next guy that's not going to be ready? You know, they're not a young team per se. You've got older guys there. DJ's older. Rizzo's 34 years old.
I mean,
they're not an old, decrepit team, but...
You hate to say it because you don't want to see it happen, but given the history, you have to imagine Stanton's going to miss time. You hope that this new version of his body, he doesn't get hurt the same way, but that's a hope.
But you're just hoping. You don't know that for a fact. You know, so I'd be interested at some point when we start taking the phone calls of just how do you feel going into opening day? You confident? Cautiously optimistic? Downright disgusted? I mean, how do you feel about this team? Just seems like in some circles, it's like last year was an aberration. They had a ton of injuries. Now everything's going to come together. They went out and got one of the best players in baseball in Soto. They're going to be healthy. But are they going to be healthy? In a year where, hey, law of averages got to tell you, it's eventually they're going to be healthy. It hasn't started out that way.
No. It hasn't felt like that. It feels like we're going to do it all again. And at what point do you sort of throw your hands up and just go, why is this just the way things are now with this team? Anyways, that is the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For a pain-free life, visit samwellpain.com today. Let's take a couple phone calls. Oh, I see Danny's on the line. We'll get to Danny in a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, Danny, we'll get to you in just a moment. Let's get to a couple of these baseball calls for a moment. Dave wants to weigh in on Ohtani. What's up, Dave? Start things off.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for letting me start off. You know, I saw when the Ohtani story broke how you guys reacted to it. I think, you know, you were one of the shows where you were, like, grinding it down to a fine powder, like, how does $4.5 million move? And how does the narrative switch with this particular scenario? My opinion, and I want to bounce it off of you, don't you just feel that if somehow this narrative is bought off by the wealthy Dodger organization or the owners in general, if they take their prince, their prime jewel, Ohtani, and somehow make it seem like he just innocently got robbed and he had zero to do with it, don't you think the credibility of the sport is going to take a hit? And if it doesn't, what does that say about the state of sports in America right now? Because at this point, it's like if nothing comes of this, it's like when an athlete's caught with a hooker and drugs or whatever, you might just be like, you know what? So what? You didn't go after the $4.5 million wire guy. Well, what's this offense about? What are you so up in arms about it? You kind of get my vibe?
Well, no, I get it. And I think it really falls on Manfred. Because of most people felt like he mishandled the Astros situation. Yes, people were punished, but none of the players were punished. Nobody recognizable was punished. Nobody pays attention to a general manager or an owner. Nobody cares about loss of draft picks or executives that are suspended. The players that were accused of cheating didn't miss a game. Astros never lost their championship, never had a game stripped from them at all. And then if you're going to tell me that the biggest star in a sport is accused of something and he's allowed to give a pass, it's going to fall on Manfred. Like, what are you doing? And then you bring up a great point. Then what happens when the second string catcher gets busted for, you know, betting a basketball game on FanDuel in the clubhouse, gets a 15-game suspension? You're going to look like a hypocrite. So I think I don't know about all of sports, Dave, because I think every sport handles things differently. But at least in baseball, I think a lot of people are keeping an eye on this, Peter, to see how this is going to be handled. And if it's swept under the rug, I don't think that's a good thing.
No, it's not. That would actually be a really bad thing. So
everybody's paying attention to this, just like the Astros situation. And Michael can tell me, while he handled the Astros situation, the owner got suspended, the general manager got suspended, the manager got fired, general manager got fired. People don't care about that, Peter. They know the players. And all they looked at is Altuve continued to play. Correa continued to play.
The only thing you can pray for is that somehow, and I don't know how this would happen, the only way this becomes a nothing burger, Don, is if somehow they are able to clearly show, and I don't know how you do this, beyond a shadow of a doubt, nothing had to do with baseball. Never. There's records of it. Again, hear me out. I'm not saying that's likely. But if you could prove that, I don't think there's a lot here. Them gambling on other sports or his buddy having a gambling problem, none of it's really a big deal to me if baseball's nowhere near it.
Okay.
But how do you prove that?
But how does it look at the bare minimum? If an employee of the Los Angeles Dodgers had a gambling problem and was in debt millions of dollars to illegal gamblers, and the biggest star on the team was funding his addiction.
It's not good, but it's not nearly. Let me put it this way. If baseball's in any way involved, the Shohei Ohtani story goes to me way past the Astros. It becomes a much bigger controversy. That was because the Astros story, guys, I got news for you. That was sort of a granular baseball story. The biggest name in baseball being involved with betting on baseball, that then goes to a way different mainstream level.
But you know what you see here? I don't know what they'll eventually prove, but it's all about what the public perceives to be true. You know how that works in PR, right?
Oh, very Peter? Well. Sure, I do.
Yeah, I mean, you've already got threads on Twitter of examples where Ohtani may have thrown games. That already exists. So if you find out that this is happening and Ohtani ends up getting off to an awful start, or when he starts pitching again, it looks all like you think people are going to go, oh, just his off day, or what's going on with Ohtani? Is Ohtani in a bag in this game? It's about losing the hearts and minds of your fans. That's why you have to treat this seriously. Now, if it ends up being a nothing burger, then prove that to me.
That's going
to
be hard.
But don't prove it to me by lack of investigating or not wanting to look what's behind the door. That's not going to cut it. But here's the issue. It's not good.
Let's go to JJ, North Carolina. Seems like he has an important and salient point to make. Hey, JJ. Okay.
Hey, before I get to that, I just want to kind of defend my former Long Island here. I think Danny was just trying to, it was kind of at the end of the call. I think he was just kind of throwing, kidding on the square kind of joke. I think he's going to, when he calls in, I think he's just going to say he was kind of being, funny. It was a, typical, Yankee boy line. I think he was just, having some fun and I think Michael took it a little too hard. I know you guys defended him and stuff, but I think Danny's still a good guy.
It is a very... I agree with you. I think Danny's a good guy, but sometimes good people do bad things. And I thought that was the one area where you don't go there with Michael. You just don't. Even if it's joking. Maybe. Because he cares a lot about his integrity, trying to balance being the Yankee announcer and doing a talk show. And that was a serious allegation thrown up by Danny, even if it was in jest. So I can understand Michael being upset about that. I can.
Okay. Of all three of you, I was just thinking about this randomly. I think Peter might have the best interviewing skills of Don. You have done your fair share. Of course, Michael with Center Stage and the Yankees. But besides that, I don't think Michael has really ventured besides baseball and, Center Stage. Peter's done WWE. Wow. He's done sports.
I got to tell you something, dude.
Hip-hop. But Michael's done a lot. Michael's had a lot of different people on Center Stage.
If you were to ask Michael what he believes he's best at, he would say it's interviewing. So he would have a major problem.
Well, the problem is? Michael wouldn't be able to weigh in on this, JJ, because he's never listened to anything I've done. That would be the only problem.
I was just listening to your recent GP with Becky Lynch. It's just you make them so comfortable. You dive into things that, usual interviewers wouldn't talk about and everything.
I will say this.
I appreciate that,
it's only by the beholder, JJ, and thank you so much for the phone call. I will say this is working with Michael as long as I have. And I think you've picked up on this too, Peter. We have the luxury of being 2-3 or 2A, 2B or 2-2, whatever, in this show. Is that if we don't have a question, we can lay out, right? So a lot of times I'll throw my hand up. It's like give a signal to Michael, like, okay, I'm done. Michael always has a bullet in the chamber. Always.
He does.
So if he thinks Peter's going to ask a question and for some reason Peter gets disconnected or Peter looks at him and goes, I don't have a question, instantaneously Michael will come up with a question. He is a fabulous interviewer. Now, I'm not sitting here going to argue, debate who's better, Michael or Peter. Obviously, I've got a lot more information on Michael because
thank you. I appreciate your honesty.
Long.
I appreciate your honesty.
But as far
he's
as
he's very good, though.
He is outstanding at it. That doesn't mean that Peter isn't. But the one thing, Peter, is that, you know, sometimes Michael never doesn't have a question. And I think that's something that's really important.
Well, but remember, this is a different. Let me say this. Michael's tremendous. He's very, very good. I'm proud of the interviews that I do both in hip-hop and wrestling. They're very different than what we do here. I think stylistically, I do things very differently than Michael does, but I think he's tremendous. And I think you guys are all tremendous as well. We'll talk to you.
And Michael just texted me. He said, JJ is now dead to me.
What is it? No, he didn't, but he did. Michael, do me a favor. Be quiet. Then talk to me about Bath Fitter.
Well, Don LeGreca here to tell you about my friends at Bath Fitter. They remodeled my mom's bath, did an awesome job. The process was easy. One expert installer, even with the customization she needed for a cast iron tub. It was done in one day with no demo or mess. It's beautiful. It's a high-quality permanent solution. Bath Fitter provides a lifetime guarantee. 3 million happy customers like my mom. For a limited time, get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bath Fitter system. So start designing your bath today at bathfitterdesign.com. There's only one Bath Fitter.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
That's interesting. You know, listen, I don't want to get into another fight with the audience or Don about movies.
Well, we forgot Beetlejuice, by the way, Michael Keaton. I'll take the L for that.
I'm not the biggest Beetlejuice guy, but obviously, if you're a huge Michael Keaton guy, you kind of have to be a Beetlejuice guy. But everyone got mad at me when I said that I liked the new Exorcist movie. It was like a
right.
Modern day continuation, or whatever. I dug it.
Well, it wasn't mad at me. It was the original writer of the movie that was disgusted.
Yeah, he was disgusted, and I was like, yeah, you know what? Bad job out of him. I thought it was really quite good. But I just mentioned to Don that over the weekend, Natalie threw on the new Roadhouse, the Jake Gyllenhaal Conor McGregor vehicle, and I got to tell you, I enjoyed it too. I've never seen the original Roadhouse,
so it's hard for you to judge.
Well, but hold on. Here's what I remember about Roadhouse. There's two things I know about it. One, when I was like 10 years old when it came out, I went to the movies and everyone said, oh my God, Patrick Ewing's here. And I opened the door to Roadhouse and I saw his huge head sticking up in the crowd.
Okay.
Because he went to go enjoy Roadhouse. It was in D.C. and this is Patrick still spent a lot of time in the D.C. area post Georgetown years. I think he had a house there. Then All I knew was it's Patrick Swayze shirtless a lot, beating people up and having sex. That's what I believed Roadhouse to be.
He didn't have a lot of sex. I think he just had, there was one scene.
One sex scene?
Yeah.
How shirtless is he, though?
Oh, he's through the entire movie.
Okay. So it was a pleasure for women to watch the film.
Yes.
And then it had fighting scenes for guys.
Yes.
Right? So seeing as that's what I understand it to be, that's exactly how the new Roadhouse was. It was a fun watch. Like, I can't imagine it's that much worse. Like, the bad guy, like, Don, Conor McGregor is like an outright over-the-top wrestling heel in the movie. He's like just an over-the-top bad guy. And there's several of those in the movie. I thought it was fun. So that's another Rosenberg take on a seemingly bad movie. To me, it's all about what is your expectation when you turn the movie on.
I just saw one review that said, do yourself a favor, watch the old one and go to bed.
So, but how, Michael, did the first one get any good reviews?
No, but it
was considered trash back then.
It was just like I describe it as a guilty pleasure. It's not a quality flick.
And that's exactly how this one felt.
It's not
going
to win any awards or anything, but it had, like you said, it had eye candy for people that are into Patrick Swayze without a shirt on. It had some attractive females in it as well. And it had a revenge story. And there was a lot of fighting. Nothing like a good revenge story where somebody's able to get retribution. That's big in movies, right? That goes back to the old, like, the Rocky feel. Like, we love that. Where a guy gets up, fights the man,
gets
revenge.
Right. Beats a bad guy.
Beats a bad guy.
The badder the bad guy is, the better.
Right.
So I think you might enjoy it. I would throw it on, Don. And Jake Gyllenhaal's in. I mean, this guy is, he might turn you.
Well, just looking at the pictures, he's looked like he's every bit as fit as Patrick was.
I think he's surpassed. He's 5% body fat. I heard him on Howard the other day.
Right.
5% body. He looks insane. I do not know how how Hollywood actors are capable of getting that disciplined. I honestly don't think I have it in me. I don't think I could do it. Like, I think if it was that or die, I'd just die.
Really?
I don't think I could do it.
No, come on. You work too hard.
Well, do I work hard?
No, but
it's a different kind of hard work.
Yeah, but I think you're disciplined in a sense that if there's a carrot at the end.
You could do, but do you think you could actually do 3 hours a day of that? I don't think I could do it.
But I there would have to be an end game to it. Like what Paul O'Neill is doing, I don't get.
I took out the happy organ.
But just 3 hours a day because that's like what you do. But if you tell me, listen, for the next 2 months, I need you to work out 3 hours a day. And at the end of those 2 months, you are going to accomplish this.
I see.
Then I would probably be motivated to do it.
That conversation with Michael about Paul O'Neill, it entered almost a weird territory because I didn't want to. Michael kept turning into, yeah, like, aren't you jealous? And my brain was, no, this is really weird. I mean, the second I saw the picture, Don, I went, what the hell's going on with Paul O'Neill?
Wow.
He looks crazy. I mean, it stood out to me the second I saw it. Now, is it impressive? Yes. But is it a bit odd? Yes.
No, he's moving his addiction to hitting to something else. But I don't think you have to be that physically fit to survive. So it seems a little much.
He's the vein poppage, Don?
Yeah.
He looks like, listen, you make of this what you will. He looks like a late 80s WWF superstar. Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, Randy. That's what he's giving.
Oh, it's crazy.
Let's go to the phone lines. So many people want to say so much. Let's start with Alex in the UPS truck. Hey, Alex.
Hey, what's going on, boys? How you doing today?
How you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Just delivering. Nice day. Can't complain, right?
There you go. Yeah, it could be worse, buddy.
Yeah, not really.
But... Okay, all right. Oh, but hold on. Can you pull it together, though, sound-wise? You can't be doing the actual delivery.
No, I just stopped the truck.
Here we go.
All right.
All right, so Gerard Mayo said that he's willing to open. He's going to trade that third overall pick if he sees the right deal. What do you think the Giants should do? Because I think that it all comes down to this season. And if you get the quarterback this season, you reset the clock, right?
Well, but what is New England trying to do? They need a quarterback.
They need a quarterback, but if they can still get a receiver at six, I think that's the most sexy pick to trade down to. They need a quarterback, but who's to say that they can't use a second-round pick to get a guy like Bo Nix if he makes it out of the first round.
Still taking a chance, man. So many teams need quarterbacks. Listen, we're not doing a show for the Boston area, so like, who cares? But I mean, obviously they traded Mac Jones away. They literally need a quarterback. They've got the third overall pick. It's a deep quarterback draft. They must not like any of the quarterbacks. Otherwise, they'd be nuts not to draft one. But if I'm the Giants, I've got 2 second-round picks and. Now, I'd have to get that formula.
No, you lost that second-round pick. You lost one of the second-round picks. So you only got one. You got Seattle's. I think it's like pick 56.
So I don't.
You're lighter in the draft now, right? So it's tough.
Yeah, that's right. Because that other second-round pick went to.
That was for Brian Burns.
Yeah, to Carolina.
Which was a fantastic pick, which not a lot of people are talking about. Because, I mean, you know.
No, I like it.
Hell of a pick.
Is he 25 years old? He's had a hell of a ton of sacks in his career. Yeah. Listen, I think the Giants, we're going to play some sound from Dable in a little bit talking about how Daniel Jones is the guy. And they went out and got Drew Locke as just someone to fill the gap until Jones is ready. And to back up Jones once Jones is ready. But they still feel like they're half pregnant on the quarterback. You're going to have, if New England's willing to deal, Peter, and you love one of those, you know, one of those top four quarterbacks, then you've got to make a deal. Now, what they give up, because you already, like the caller just reminded me, they just gave up one of the other second round picks, so they can't do that. But where are you going without a quarterback? Now, if they believe in one of these guys, now can they trade back into the first round to get somebody that falls? But according to some of these mock drafts, none of these quarterbacks may fall. Knicks may not be there in the second round. Then what do? Can they really afford, Peter, even if they can get the wide receiver at 6, to go into next year with just Daniel Jones and Drew Locke and DeVito? I don't think that would be a good idea. No.
I mean, well, listen, it depends. What do you want the year to be?
Well, I'm not talking about the year. I'm just talking about the future.
No, but if that's your future, that's a problem.
No, you're going to tell me we think Daniel Jones is going to be the man.
But that's not.
Well, then I need to see him be the man in 2024. I could feel a lot better about it if he goes out there and wins an MVP. Then we're good. He's still young.
It would mean this year is a total gamble. You're just throwing it at the wall and hoping it works out, hoping he stays healthy, and hoping he looks like the guy that you paid him to be.
Well, but if that were the case, you got an out after 2 years, so you couldn't have been that all in going into last year, and then last year was a disaster. So, I don't know. I would be very interested to talk to New England what it would take to get the third overall pick. I'd feel a lot better as a Giant fan than sitting there at 3 than at 6.
The aforementioned Danny in Long Island. Danny, the floor is yours.
Hello, Peter. Hello, Don. And
hello,
Michael. Hello, Michael, wherever you are.
He is listening. We got confirmation.
He's listening.
On that.
He's got a cup of Bigelow tea. He's got butter. He's got his laminated list in front of him. I'm clearly on it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just make an opening statement.
Okay.
According to my records, I dialed the phone at 3:05 on Friday. Peter opened up talking about Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
And I had listened to people for 24 hours talk about what was going to happen without any of them having even mentioned the fact that the interpreter was a Japanese citizen, and in my opinion, like I said on the air to you guys, he will never again appear before any FBI or anyone because he's not required to. So we may never hear him. That was my statement. I made a little funny comment about the Island soft serve thing. While I was on hold and listening to other calls, you guys pontificated about it, and Peter was hosting through most of the talking. He said, that you stepped aside because Michael was really clearly hot and was going through, and you said he might handle it differently, and he wouldn't go through all the various worst-case scenarios. You guys actually broached the subject in a respectful manner. So at the end of my conversation where I gave you my opinion on Ohtani before I gave a meal recommendation to Peter, I said... I did say that. I said I think he would handle it differently if he was a Yankee. Now, I've been listening to the show since day one. I did not call him Yankee boy. I did not use the term sweeping it under the rug, which is what Don said to him that I said. I said he would handle it differently. And I think we could all agree that there is no unbiased news in the world anymore. Everyone brings their thoughts and their bias to the table, whether we want to or not. I did not know I was striking at Michael Kay's inner core, and for that I apologize. But I do sometimes feel like he hits it harder on the Mets than he does on the Yankees. For instance, on March 25th, he called the Mets general manager derelict in his duty for not having enough pitching. And, Don, you said, I think you're being a little hard on them. Okay? I don't think that makes him immoral. I don't think that makes him not a journalist. I think that makes him a human being. If my boss walked in and started breathing fire breath in my face, I wouldn't hand him a pair of Tic Tacs because his name is on my check. So that's all I was – that makes Michael human. It doesn't make him he come in at 100 miles an hour. If I'm on the list, so be it. I can't get off the list. I don't want to be on the list. But, Don, you then – called me a coward.
Oh, my God.
You said I called at a very unusual time on a Friday when I get off early on a Friday. I was driving home. So I asked Peter, which is the worst indiscretion? Maybe me, a subtle little, or Don calling me a coward.
And I don't remember.
I didn't have the nerve to say that when Kay was on the air. That just threw more fire on Kay's body. He was screaming.
Oh boy, this is a mess.
Did I call you a coward?
You called me a coward.
I'm sure I said it in jest.
We're going to have to call in the UN, the General Assembly.
I'm sure I said that in jest.
I think it was.
Anyway,
but would you have said that to Michael?
Of course I would have.
Okay. Now, Michael heard it. Michael was waiting to go on the air.
No, he did not hear it. No, I've listened to the tape like I watched the Bruder film. What he said was, Pusick told me what he said. Almost like he gave a phone tag where I said something, Pusick heard what I said. So by the time he gets to somebody else, it just gets elevated. Because when Pusick is telling him that, he's telling it to him to get a reaction, so he's going to make it sound
that's
even
good
worse.
That's a good producer right there.
Yeah, I'm not, listen, made for great radio. I should be on the payroll, I think. But I'm not taking back what I said, but what I said, I never called the Yankee, I never said Yankee boy. I've never said that.
No, I don't think you did.
I think most people would think that's normal. That makes Michael completely normal. Maybe that's not good enough for Michael. I don't know. Peter, by the way, I'm glad you liked the recommendation. I have another one for you if you're around Long Island. Feel free to ask. That's it, guys.
Appreciate you, man. We need you and Michael to air this out. We're not going to get in between the liaisons. He said, he said, she said, all that stuff. It is a very sensitive topic for Michael. Everybody knows he's in an awkward position, but I just felt like Danny was overly aggressive to point out that it would have been handled differently had Ohtani been a Yankee. But you guys air it out amongst yourselves.
But you make a fair point. I understand where you're coming from, and I hope that you two can work it out. Don, talk to me about Mazda.
Get more in a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. More selection, over 750 new vehicles available, and more savings on their entire Mazda lineup. Like the new 2024 Mazda CX-30 2.5S, all-wheel drive, leased for just $179 a month. Or Ramsey Mazda at Ramsey Mazda. Route 17 North in Ramsey Mazda. In Ramsey, choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 888-885-2891 for lease details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN RM634194. MSRP 26. $6,445 ends 4/1/24.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
This portion of the program, the K Show, it's brought to you by our friends over at Pepe Motors. That's right. Genesis of White Plains, to be exact. Genesis of White Plains, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. How about that, Anthony? Did I kill it or what?
You did a fantastic job.
Let's go right back to the phones and start with, oh, Griffin in Connecticut. Hey, Griffin.
Hey, Griff.
Hey. First off, hopefully Michael gets better. We need him on Thursday for opening day. It's not the same without him, so I'm sending him my love to hopefully he gets better. Okay. Second off, Don, before I have a hockey question before you, before I get to that, when you were asking about the Yankees and the excitement, I'm actually excited because I actually believe the offense is going to be better. The pitching, I know everybody's saying, well, the pitching this, the pitch. I've never seen the pitching be the problem. Even last year, despite all the injuries that Bullpen has had, they score like three runs, and they don't get any runs. They added Juan Soto. They add Alex Verdugo. Volpe got another year under his belt. I feel good about Judge. I just feel like this is going to be something where they're just being cautious because if you have him long-term, you don't want to have him really miss much a long time. And Gleyber Torres, I feel good. He's on a walk year, so I feel like he's going to really chill it. And the pitching, maybe I'm just thinking that Rodon, I don't think, is that bad. I think it's a bounce-back year. Last year was the injury that threw his whole spring training off. He had a full spring training under his belt. Cortez looked good a little bit this spring. Marcus Stroman's looked good this spring. So it's just, we'll see. But I feel like heading in, despite losing Cole, I feel like everybody else is in a good spot.
Yeah, listen, DJ LeMahieu, who's a bit of a problem, obviously. You want to make sure that you can get him to be able to play this year. And Judge is going to be in and out of the lineup. You're right. That's just the creature of the contract and his situation there. But, you know, injuries have been a problem for this team, really going back to Girardi. And this was supposed to be the year where finally maybe the injuries will break their way, and maybe they eventually will, guys. But early on, you lose your best pitcher for possibly 2 months, maybe longer. All right, Judge has been in and out of the lineup in the spring. Now no DJ LeMahieu to start the season. I mean, so it's kind of continuing from what we've seen. But I can understand you being optimistic because I do agree. Soto's great. Judge is great. Rizzo should be healthy. Glaber's in a walk year. So there's a lot of things to get excited about offensively for this team, and we'll see how it breaks down. But no Cole and DJ to start the season kind of stinks. Period.
It's not what you want, no matter how you cut it. It's just, it's nasty. This is like, it's sort of a nightmare. I mean, I don't want to overdo it. It's sort of a March nightmare, if we're being honest on. Like, is there really a better? Garrett Cole's going to be out for months, guys. This is a nightmare scenario. We're making it feel nice. We're working through it. But can we be real? If I had said to a Yankee fan, if I had talked to John Boy 3 months ago, I think him, they're down there at spring training right now enjoying themselves. I've been watching their content, taking it in. If I was to say to those guys a few months ago, hey guys, by the time we get to the opening week of the season, you'll know that your best case scenario is you have Garrett Cole at the All-Star break. They would say that's a nightmare. That is an absolute unmitigated nightmare.
Of course it is, because when you talked about, like, what are you excited about the 2024 Yankees? You're probably in the top three, Soto, Judge, Cole.
Cole has to be.
All right, so now you've lost, what, number three for the first 2 months of the season. And Judge has been, let's be careful with him, he's not going to play 162 games. Now Soto has tore the cover off the ball in the spring, so there's every reason to believe that he's going to be great. And I think when Judge plays, he's going to be great too. But listen, one of the things that makes the Yankees special is not going to be there for possibly more than 2 months to start the season. That just flat out stinks. But there's a lot of other things, as Griff said, that if they break the right way, they can keep their head well above water in that span of time. We'll see.
Let's go to John in Union. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Peter, real quick.
I'll describe the original Roadhouse to you.
Oh, thank you.
It's probably one of the greatest goofball movies you'll ever watch.
Really?
What yeah, do you mean? It's just stupid movie like Napoleon Dynamite. But every time it comes on, you gotta watch it.
But
it's
like
got Sam Elliott. It's got all these actors. It's a classic.
And it's that it's as it's intentionally addictive. Is it as like because Napoleon like absolutely knows
no,
it's being
not a
silly.
Comedy. But it is.
I'm not saying it's a comedy, Don. I'm saying it's the kind of movie where it never made it into theaters very well. Like Napoleon Dynamite went to compact disc or whatever, went to
DVD.
And made millions off the movie. Roadhouse is the same way. It was a flop in the theaters. But they put it on TNT, they put it on HBO, and you just can't stop watching it every time it comes on.
I guess the best way to describe it is it's just over the top. It's just a very stereotypical kind of a goofy movie that, like, it's not intentionally goofy, but it's just everything is over the top. In comes the stud walking into the old town that's being taken over by the mobster, and he's got a past himself, and it's like it clicks every box of like your stereotypical like movie, and it delivers on every single aspect of it. It's not going to win any awards, as you said. It didn't do well in the theater, but if that thing comes on and you don't have to go to bed right away, and you see it's on HBO, you'll find it all of a sudden 45 minutes gone from your day because you get sucked into the movie, and it'll never be one of your favorite movies, and it's never a movie that anybody that was in was proud to be in, but for some reason it just works. It's crazy. Yeah. And it's really, again, no need to remake it. Like, it's the same thing with another one of Patrick Swayze movies that he was in, Point Break. They remade Point Break. There's no reason to remake Point Break.
But you always say no reason. I look at it the other way around. They are looking to fill these streamers with content. If Roadhouse, the movie that I watched the other day with Jake Gyllenhaal, I see why you'd remake it. Because it's a nothing fun movie you could plug other people into, and it's still good.
But there's no reason to plug other people in. The people that they plugged in are just fine for it. Like, there's really no reason to make it.
But you can't expound on it.
But
you can't do a sequel with Patrick Swayze either.
No, I can't really explain it to you. Because you didn't see the original. Like, did they update it? Is there something, is there a new look to it? Is there a new kind of theme to it to kind of jazz it up? Because if they just take the same template, then there's really no reason to do it.
But what do you mean, to get new people to watch it? If you know it worked, they're just doing it. They want to make money.
But I just think it worked because of who was in it.
But the interesting question is, did it even work?
but it worked for what it was meant to do. Like, sometimes movies are made, like,
you're asking the question as to why. I'm asking why not.
But what I'm saying is that you go and see a classic great movie that's up for Best Picture. Like, you go to a classic steakhouse. You go and see Roadhouse to get a Whopper at Burger King.
Right.
Like, you know what it is. It's not going to win any awards, but damn, in that moment, it's exactly what you want.
Yeah. And that's what this one feels like.
You wouldn't remake the Whopper.
But people do. Every new burger place that's ever been made is just reselling the Whopper.
Yeah, but you want, but I've got the option to go to Burger King. There's only one Whopper. But there's only one Roadhouse.
No, but it's
If you're going to redo Roadhouse, make something else.
But why? They already know it works. They know it's
It works because it's the Whopper. And see, they mess with the Whopper and they make the plant based.
But a kid,
a
30 year old,
it up.
But a 25 year old right now doesn't want to go watch the Patrick Swayze Roadhouse. They might stumble on this one with Jake Gyllenhaal and go, "I'll watch this."
But in the analogy with the Whopper, Patrick Swayze is the patty. All right,
and
Sam Elliott is the seated bun.
No, this is too much.
So you're not
I'm gonna
sit there.
Let's
make the Whopper, but let's put some jalapeno peppers in. All right, well then you've changed it. Now you've made something different. But if you're just gonna go back and give me the same bread, the same burger, the same lettuce, then just keep the same Whopper.
But it's not because that Whopper is done selling and it's sitting there gathering dust.
But that's the point. It's really not done selling it because that's a guy that sounded like he was too young to remember it. In a theaters, but he pops on TNT after, you know, the Penguins Oilers game, falls asleep, wakes up in the middle of thrilled. Roadhouse, and he's up until 4 o'clock in the morning.
You know what?
The Jake Gyllenhaal is gonna die on the vine, man, because it's not the same thing. They found the magic. Leave it alone.
Well, I don't know if they even did find the magic. It may be considered an abject failure. I'm not even sure, but I'll tell you this. Say goodbye to Busted Brackets, guys, because FanDuel, they'll let you bet on every game of the tournament. Whether you're betting on a big upset, of a one seed, no matter what it is you're looking for, it's time to dance on FanDuel Sportsbook. And right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. All right? Duke's won enough, guys. Please let them lose in the Sweet 16. They won by a blowout yesterday. It's making me sick. So let's go ahead and win and get $200 to use on point spreads, money lines. You can even pick who's going to win the whole thing. Just visit FanDuel.com/Peter and bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. 21 and over in physically present New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issues, non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.